You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
If you imagine yourself walking on a path, right? A path, and I visualize this all the time. You're walking through a path, and the path can be your path. It can be a path through eelgrass going to a beach. It could be through the trees. It could be on a mountain. It could be wherever, you know, through the desert. It's your path. And you visualize yourself walking along that path. And every time you do something that moves you towards your vision, your goals, your mission, your passion, your purpose, whatever it might be, every time you're taking an act that's in line with what you want in your life, you're taking a step forward. Mm-hmm. And all we need to do is take one little step forward constantly.
What confidence is has nothing to do with winning or the leaderboard. What confidence is knowing that you giving your best effort is enough.
Okay, what's going on, Ben?
Everything.
Everything is going on. It's true. Today I wanted to talk to you about habits, good and bad habits. Something that I've thought a lot about over the years. And I don't know that you and I have ever talked about.
I love that about you. It's very cool.
Thank you. I don't know that you and I have ever talked about habits specifically. So I'm excited to
hear
what you think. Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah. Because it's the whole deal. It's the underpinning of so many things. And I think a lot about successful people, less successful people. And I think about you, obviously, in the former category. One of the things that I've always noticed about you is that you seem to, the reason you've been able to do a lot of what you do to the level that you do is because you've sort of developed these habits or this discipline around these habits. And the thing about you is that I've seen you deviate from those habits so infrequently to a degree that, like, I've noticed it. I've noticed that like you rarely aren't the person that you're trying to be. Mm. Right. And that's impressive to me. So I'm curious where and how you started thinking about habits and when you started to be sort of intentional about it versus this thing's working. I'll just keep doing it.
That's a cool little lead-in question statement. So that's cool. I think I first started. So first off, I wasn't always a slave to my habits. Mm-hmm. I wasn't always aware of my habits. I wasn't always aware of what the pursuit of excellence looks like. I didn't know what I wanted in my life. And, I was at lunch with somebody just today and I was talking about, we were talking about, you know, my birthday's coming up and they were saying, we were talking about like, he was saying like, oh, if we could only be 25 again, I was like, no, I don't want to be 25 again. Like I was a wreck. I was like, I didn't have any good habits and a lot of bad habits. And I didn't know how my actions were dictating my life. So I'm much more fulfilled where I am now because I've instilled some habits that I'm proud of and I think will lead me towards a fulfilled life. Yep. So that kind of all shifted for me at all this kind of like happened as I was creating this business, CrossFit New England. Mm-hmm. I found something I was really passionate about. I went from corporate business to ski bum. Like, I don't want to do any of this stuff. I wanted to, you know, with 9/11 happening, I wanted to like rewrite my life. Mm-hmm. Came back, found fitness, started doing triathlons and personal training, found CrossFit and like head over heels. This is my passion. This is what I wanted for the rest of my life. I know what I want to be doing. And once I found that, that's when I like started learning and reading and started diving into my craft. And it was so great because I read three books right as I was opening up CrossFit New England. I read The E-Myth, mm-hmm. which is Gerber, I think it is, which is stands for The Entrepreneur's Myth. Yep. Really good for helping me kind of like structure the business a little bit. Still learned a lot since then. It was a very, 101 type knowledge base. I read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Carnegie. Maybe one of the most impactful books I've ever read. Just the power of how you communicate with people and what that can do. Mm-hmm. For coaches, it's a must. I think for anybody, for salespeople, for managers, mm-hmm. it's a must really for anybody that has a relationship with anybody at any level. It's a must.
Yeah.
And the third book I read was Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. And when I read that book, I didn't read it to finish it. And I think that's one of the biggest things. I read it to how am I going to use this to structure the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And every chapter, every paragraph, I would reread and I take ownership of it. And I really wouldn't move on until I was like, okay, this is what this looks like.
You owned it.
Moving forward. Yeah. And could I then talk to my dad about this? Could I explain this to him? And when I did that, I was like, I started to really take a lot of ownership about, you know, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, mm-hmm. and putting first things first and urgent versus important issues and all of those type of things that, you know, I feel like transition me from my past life to my current life.
Mm-hmm. So that was roughly 10 years ago now, I guess. Years.
Yeah, 2009, 2008.
Have you revisited that book since, or do you feel like the work that you put into it that first time really helped or was enough to sort of spawn whatever?
I've read probably 4 books in my life twice. Mm-hmm. Ryan Holiday's Obstacles the Way.
Yep.
Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. There's another one I just reread recently. I can't remember what it is. And that's actually the next book. That's the next book I'm going to read again a second time.
Yep.
It's literally the next one in my queue.
Yep.
I really want to do that one a second time because I want to own it again. I realize how impactful it was for me.
Okay. So where do you begin taking that sort of intellectual understanding, at least of those habits and maybe mm-hmm. habits in general, and actually put them into practice in some way?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a very foundational thing. And anybody that's read it, it's not rocket science. And it's not going to create any like major light bulb moments. It's stuff that you know already.
Yep.
Particularly if you've listened to this podcast, you listen to anything, you read any sort of like this stuff. Yep. Like I'm not saying go out and buy that book because it's great, but it's very foundational.
Yep.
Right. And what you end up finding out is a lot of the other stuff that you read and listen to, it's all referencing that anyway.
Yep.
So what I've done since then is transform those in line with my core values, which people have heard a lot about in terms of what I try to do with my life is live my life, love, lead, learn, leave a legacy. So I can be on my deathbed, look back and be like, I lived a fulfilled life. That's mm-hmm. what I want to be able to do. So what I want to do is be able to set up the habits and the daily rituals to make sure that I'm pursuing each of those 5 things throughout my life. So I'm not getting pushed off track. And I think that's what you're referencing in the beginning is I don't want to say I'm a slave to it, but I am very disciplined in terms of when I'm at home. Like I want to make sure that family life is really important to me. I want to make sure that I'm there and present for my family. It would be so easy for me on a singular one-off today. Like today, I know I'm supposed to leave the office right now, but I still have these 11 emails to read. I still have to do this programming and talk with this coach. So I'm not going to really be home, you know, until about 45 minutes later than I would want to be. And you just do that time and time again. You make these little one-off excuses. And the next thing you know, 10 years have passed and you don't have a presence in your kids' lives because you made off these one little things. It takes a level of discipline. And, you know, the saying is we are the sum of what we do. Excellence is then not a habit, but an act. That's really, it's an act that you're putting into place right now. I think that was Aristotle. The other thing that is this kind of realization that everything we do, if you imagine yourself walking on a path, right? A path, and I visualize this all the time. You're walking through a path, and the path can be your path. It can be a path through eelgrass going to a beach. It could be through the trees. It could be on a mountain. It could be wherever, you know, through the desert. It's your path. And you visualize yourself walking along that path. And every time you do something that moves you towards your vision, your goals, your mission, your passion, your purpose, whatever it might be, every time you're taking an act that's in line with what you want in your life, you're taking a step forward. Mm-hmm. And all we need to do is take one little step forward constantly. Like, is the next thing you're doing moving you towards your goals? Take massive action to that which moves you towards your goals or your vision. Similar to that, though, what I think people need to realize is that there's bad habits as well.
Yeah.
And bad habits don't keep you the same. There's no standing still on this path. There is no, you're always moving forward or backwards. Mm-hmm. So you're either taking a step farther away from those goals or a step forward towards those goals. And that's the, you know, it's the aggregation of marginal gains, is these tiny, tiny little things. So here's the way I explain this is, let's say you have a vision of what you want in your life and you want to be healthy, lean, fit, active, productive, and a benefit to your family deep into your 70s, right? Into your early 80s. Mm-hmm. Let's say that every single day you work an office job and you go out for lunch every day and you do a good job. But every single day you come back and you get that 2:30, 3 o'clock kind of slump in the afternoon. You're like, so you get up and every single day you get up and you stretch your legs and you walk to the around the office and you go to that little tray that's always in the office. It's either like every office is different. There's either cake or there's, yep, you know, cookies or there's like an M&M's jar. And every day you go and you take a handful or two of those things. Well, after one day, 2 days, 3 days a week, that's no big deal. It's not that big of a deal.
Yep.
But that little habit that you have done over 10 to 20 years is going to be hugely effective. Mm-hmm. Now, if you eliminate that, that's a big difference. And it's this, imagine like a graph where, you know, as you're going out on the graph, you're getting farther and farther and farther away from homeostasis, away from the norm, and just going worse and worse and worse. Your health is declining more and more and more. Now, imagine if you eliminate that habit, you fall back to homeostasis. Mm-hmm. Now, let's imagine if you replace that bad habit with a productive habit. Mm-hmm. Let's say instead of going to that cookie jar, going to the M&M's bowl, going to the hard candy, going to get that piece of cake, let's say instead you have an apple. Let's say instead you journal. Let's say instead you go down, you work on the 13th story. Mm-hmm. Let's say you take the elevator down and walk back up the 13 stories. It takes you 6 minutes to get back up. Imagine if you did that every single day, how your life would change. Now, instead of this like trajectory, which gets farther and farther and farther away from homeostasis in a negative effect, instead of just being neutral, you're taking this positive up and up and up and up. Let's say that's when you take your daily vitamins or whatever it is. Yep. But if you replace it with a bad habit with a good habit, all of a sudden you're making huge differences, like massive changes from somebody that, from yourself that would have kept a bad habit or yourself that would even just stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Two questions off of that. First, to go back a little bit to something that you said, and we've talked about it before, but it especially, you know, with this conversation, it feels like it's important to make sure we sort of hit it on the head, which is these ideas that these habits are built off of your core values. Mm-hmm. They're not just random, I should be healthier and therefore I do this. It's you've determined the things that are most important to you, and then you've determined what habits need to be in place so that you act in accordance with those core values. And I think that that's the thing that a lot of people miss.
Yep.
They're sort of like, yeah, I have this vague sense that I should be doing the right thing.
Everyone else seems to be doing this, or yeah, I saw some high-level speaker talk about this, or I saw, I feel like this is the right thing. If these things are, you know, in this sense, you can almost switch out like habits for goals and then, yep, just taking action towards, but it's way more impactful if they truly resonate with you, if it's something that you really want to instill into your life. So for me, for that, in one of those examples is, you know, my family. Mm-hmm. And the things I have in place to make sure that I'm doing that is I'm home, literally in the house by 6 o'clock every single night, and I don't check my phone, I don't check my computer once I'm home. So I'm home and I am present, mm-hmm, completely. I check that every single day, and I become a slave to the discipline of making sure that that happens. One day a week, I try and get home before 5 o'clock, and that's the same thing. In the middle of every day, I contact my wife and I give her a phone call in the middle of the day because it's what she values. I know she's told me that's important to her. Similar, I send a text to my kids while they're at school with a little thing about, you know, like, have a great day, you know, and something along our family core values,
right,
you know, whatever, yep, it might be. Yep. So that's, I know it's important to me. And now if I do that every single day, even if like something's like kind of pushing me off the rails somewhere else, like I have a pretty strong armory of what I've built up.
Yep.
And that's, I know that I'm moving towards a better, more productive family life. Mm-hmm. And you can do that same thing with if health and nutrition is really important to you.
Yep.
Making sure that every single day you are working out, that you have three good meals, that you eat plenty of vegetables, that you're hydrating, and you put all those habits in place. But if health isn't important to you and you're trying to do those things, well, you're just fighting in, you know, you're basically like, you know, trying to run up a sand dune. It's going to take you a lot of effort to not really go anywhere.
You feel like you're doing homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like just doing work to do like work.
Somebody told me to do this. So
it's like when you're told to read a book and when you're supposed to like, you read a book cause you want to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I don't think I ever read a book in high school. Like I'm being honest. I don't think I ever finished a book.
Because school was boring, because the books were irrelevant, because you were stoned the whole time?
What's the yes, all of the above. Not the stoned all the time. Yeah. I have to save that for college. But yeah, it didn't excite me. Yeah. I wasn't excited about learning whatsoever because I didn't have it. I didn't like reading Jane Eyre. How does that a girl in the 1700s, I don't even 1700, 1600, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't even know. How does that relate to me? How is that like, it just like means nothing to me.
Yep.
Like Shakespeare means nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I read something about, you know, Ray Dalio's Principles. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I read, you know, Stephen Covey, and I read Malcolm Gladwell. It's like, oh my God, I can use this. Yeah. It's like amazing.
Yeah. You sort of alluded to that earlier in the conversation when you were talking about when you found CrossFit and you sort of dove into it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you were able to be a student in that moment because it connected to some bigger thing that you were trying to chase. Without that, you probably wouldn't have stuck or maybe you wouldn't have put the work in necessary.
Yeah. So the other side, I mean, here's the deal is like, so maybe there is another side of this, which is, and it's not so much the learning aspect, but habits you can fake it till you make it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, right? Like, okay, I really want to get in shape. That is important to me. I want to, like if you don't love it, you're not passionate about it right at the get-go, that's okay. You're a human being. Like, yep. Like getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go to the gym is not exciting for most people. Like saying no to the cookies and yes to a salad is not exciting for most people. So what you need to do in that case is literally fake it till you make it. And you have to just make sure that you're kind of giving yourself, here's how, maybe we should have started talking off, but there's what are habits,
mm-hmm.
right? How are they created?
Yep.
Right. And habits are things that you, habitually do, you know, you do them again and again, and there's an actual mechanism that's creating it, which is hormones. Mm-hmm. It's actually like, there's the three R's of habits. The first one is a reminder,
mm-hmm.
right? Where a trigger triggers this thing, whether it's a time of the day or it's an act that you did before it or whatever it is, you know. Then from there, there's the routine, which is the habit itself with the action you're taking.
Yep.
And then from that habit, there's a reward.
Yep.
And those are three R's, the reminder, the routine, and the reward. So for me, and a habit that I worked myself into was after dinner, I would treat myself with these. I would make these like parfaits, mm-hmm. and they're healthy-ish, right? Yeah. It'd have some like steel cut oats or oatmeal or something like that. We'd have maybe a little bit of Greek yogurt, have some almond butter, maybe some chia seeds or some berries in it. And like just ridiculously delicious. It's like so yummy. So I just got in that kind of habit of doing that. And like, I just started liking it. And I, you know, it was my treat. The kids, I put, you know, did the kids' whole night routine, did the pajamas, read them stories. A little bit of a stressful time for me because it's like, are they going to go to bed? Are they going to rebel? Or like, you know, I need to get bed at a certain time. If they start to rebel, like, oh my gosh, now I'm not getting to bed. Now I'm not getting my sleep. My whole week starts to spiral out of control.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of stress. Actually, side tangent, but we did a stress analysis. I wore an HRV monitor for about a 48 to 72 hour period and monitored my stress levels throughout the day.
Recently?
This was years ago. Okay. This was years ago. It's actually when you have to wear them is before like Whoops and stuff like that.
Yep.
You actually had to wear a chest monitor. Yep. Actually, it wasn't even a chest monitor. It was like you put this round circle on your chest and the other one on your ribs and it measured through your heart.
Okay.
It was like, you're going to get shocked and like brought back to life.
Yep. Technology has come quite a bit.
Yeah, quickly, right? And the two crazy things is measured your stress amongst a whole bunch of everything. One of the least stressful times of my day by drastically was when I was coaching class.
Huh.
It's just like, it's like flow for me. It's my zone. It's my zen. It's my kung fu. Yep. Like I just like, I love it and I thrive there. One of the most stressful times for me, if you had asked me this, I never would have guessed this, was putting the kids to bed.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that I do, like, I like it. I read them stories and when it goes really well, it's awesome. But I think it's because there's that time like, is it going to go well?
Yep. Completely.
So anyway, like soul side tangent, but back to the three R's of reminder, routine, and reward. What would happen is after I put those kids to bed, was my reminder.
Yep.
It's been an hour and a half since dinner. Now it's time to treat yourself. And I would have this thing and making it and eating it was the routine. Yep. And the reward was, oh, it's so relaxing. It tastes so good. And I'm so full and the taste buds and like the dopamine response of like the drug addict, like, oh yes, this is amazing. So it didn't take very long for that to create its own little habit in this little habit loop where reminder, routine, reward. And the reward creates that. And when that reminder comes up again, it's like, oh, remember how good this was?
Yep.
Go do this thing. To the point where here's where it gets crazy. I had a Pavlov's dog type thing where Pavlov's dog is this thing with a reminder. People I don't know, I'm sure everybody has heard this, but Pavlov was this, help me out. He was a psychologist or something.
Behavioral psychologist.
Had a dog. And the routine was he would ring a dinner bell. The dog would come running. The dog eventually learned that dinner bell means dinner is going to be served, which means that he then goes to the bowl, eats his dinner. When he eats his dinner, the normal process of digestion is dogs start salivating from the mouth, drooling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened in a very short period of time was ring the dinner bell. Before the dog ate, he started salivating because it was a reminder and skipping the routine, the reward thing started coming about and the hormones started going. It's like, I'm going to eat. Here it comes. It's going to be so good. That's what was happening with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to break this thing. I tried it with sheer willpower. And you know what the crazy thing was? Was like, so I would eat dinner and an hour and a half after dinner, I'd be like really hungry. Mm. I'd be like, that's kind of weird. Like I only ate an hour and a half ago. So I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat two dinners to make sure I'm not hungry an hour and a half. So I would eat dinner. And then while everyone else is cleaning up and doing their thing, I would get another full dinner, literally another whole 800 calories. And I'd eat a whole nother dinner. Well, guess what happened an hour and a half later?
Still.
My stomach would literally, I'm not exaggerating this, and I wish I like recorded or something. My stomach would literally growl out loud to where people sitting next to me like, dude, what is
How
up
are you
with
still
that?
Hungry?
How are you still hungry? You just ate twice as much as everyone else here. Because my body was like, you are going to get that reward. Start the digestive process. Yep. Here it comes. You're going to get food. And it's like, to beat that with willpower is freaking hard.
Yeah.
Like to beat a growling stomach when it's physical pain, not just mental, but it's actually like, you're not just saying like, oh, I'm just, it's not that I'm hungry. It's just that I want to eat. It's like, no, you're, but the crazy thing is it's not hunger. It was showing up as hunger, but it's not, it couldn't be. I just had an extra half a day's worth of food. It's not hunger, but it shows up as hunger. And this is the powerful thing for people that are like, I really want that cookie. I really want that. Your brain is telling you really want that and it's real, but it's not because you're hungry. It's because you've created a loop in your system that you get that reward if you have that cookie.
Yep.
It feels good. It tastes good. Dopamine, hormones. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And that your body is so set up for that short-term reward response.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't think the long-term at all. It can't because that's the way we are evolutionary as human beings. So what you need to do in that point is you have two choices. Be a freaking monster, badass, mental beast mm-hmm. and beat it with willpower. And like, I don't care. You're growling. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Or you substitute out the routine, right? There's always going to be me putting the kids to bed an hour after dinner. That's what's always going to happen. I'm not going to negate that.
Yep.
So that's the case. What I need to do is shift out the routine for something. But I need to make sure the routine is still creating a reward. Mm-hmm. If I just substitute the routine for like, stabbing myself in the forehead with a pencil, like mm-hmm. that's not going to help anything. Yeah. So what I need to do is substitute out the routine. So what I did, and this worked really well, and it's the most meat-heady thing ever, and it's embarrassing to even say it, is the first thing I would do is I would go upstairs and I would brush my teeth. I would do my nightly routine of mouthwash and yep. brush my teeth and floss.
Yep.
And that gave me like, just this like, I don't have this like metallic taste in my mouth. I'm not looking to digest anything. I'm not, it gave me this reward of like, ah, minty fresh breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that tempted to eat. And then I would do 30 push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so meat-heady, but I got this, not the dopamine response, I got the endorphin response.
Yep.
So endorphins are there to mask physical pain, to keep you going through exertion. It's like when the cavemen were running after or running away from danger or trying to catch their food, they would get a runner's high to keep them going.
Yep.
It actually is like, it feels good at that point. Well, you get a little one of those from push-ups. You also get a little dopamine response of like, I'm checking a box mm-hmm. and I'm getting buffer. I'm getting stronger. I'm moving the needle in a positive way. So I'm shifting out the hormones in a positive way from this dopamine thing of, oh, this feels, or maybe it's not dopamine for the other one. Serotonin is actually probably the one that's coming up for the sugar thing.
Yes.
But I'm getting a positive hormonal response. And all of a sudden, there's a reward loop at the end of that system. And now it's when, guess what? You do that for 2, 3, 5 days a week. And all of a sudden, it's put the kids to bed an hour after dinner. And then all of a sudden, what I do is I go brush my teeth, floss, mouthwash, do 30 push-ups, and I feel good. And I don't want to go downstairs and have that thing anymore.
Yep.
Is it an instant switch flip? Is it easy as that? No, it still takes some willpower. Is it easier to have the parfait? Absolutely. Is it taste better to have the parfait? Absolutely. But it's not going from the parfait to 100% willpower, which is brutal. Brutal, yeah. Cold turkey wouldn't be good either. There's no response to that. That's either. A tryptophan response.
You fall asleep though.
Yeah. That's actually a misnomer, about
tryptophan. Yeah, you've told me that before.
Yeah.
Yep. Or I've heard you say that before.
It takes like a pound of tryptophan to like put you to sleep.
You have to eat 17
turkeys. Yeah, yeah. You and all your family don't have tryptophan to fall asleep.
How do you start to develop good habits? Like, do you first identify what you want and then how to build a habit around that? Do you start to identify where are my bad habits and how can I replace those bad habits with something positive? Like, where's step one?
Any of the above, right? Yeah. Anything that moves you towards your goals is a good action.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything that you listen to, we could probably list 10 other first places to start. They're all legit. There is no right one place. So if it's, let's try to create a better habit. Let's try to take a bad habit and make it, let's try and eliminate it. Let's try and switch out a bad habit for a good habit. Let's try to figure out what's important in my life and then create actions that can follow behind that. I don't think there really is a right or a wrong place to do that other than just realizing it's these small little steps that add up to the big things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the snooze alarm, mm-hmm. right? So you snooze one day, no big deal, dude, whatever. Like, you're a human being, you can snooze. But if you hit the snooze alarm every single day for the next 5 years of your life versus waking up on time 15 minutes earlier and getting up and doing a morning routine of gratitude and journaling, I'm telling you, you're gonna be a different human being 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that's a huge difference for one thing. Now, if you do that 10, 12, 13 times throughout the day for all these little things here or there. So let's say you hit the snooze alarm instead, you get up and you journal, right? Let's say you get up in the morning, you put on the news and you just kind of like mindlessly listen to the news as opposed to you read stoicism, mm-hmm. right? Let's say that you then go to work and you speed to work and you grab a donut on the way versus you leave work 15 minutes early, set up yourself enough time to get to the office and do some mindfulness practice while you have a healthy smoothie that you made at home or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like already we're at 8:30 in the morning and you're a different human being.
Totally. You've just described two completely different people.
Like one is trajectory towards like, I am going to be a victim of society and miserable with my life versus somebody that is thriving towards excellence. Yep. And you just kind of keep setting up those habits throughout the day. And all of a sudden I'm talking about over 5 years in, if you do that, the sum of all those things, in a month, you're going to be a different place, yeah. Right? That's what's kind of exciting is if you kind of go wholesale, like I'm going to rewrite this whole thing. One of the ways that I've, I don't know if we're talking about habits or, but is I've created, you just list out, what does a great day look like? I tried to do, what's a perfect day look like? Yeah. And it's really, you get stuck. I know it's really hard because a perfect day probably doesn't have a lot to do with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
It's going to be like, I'm going to wake up on a beach in Maui and I'll be skiing in, skiing in Utah in the afternoon. It's like, that's a perfect day.
Yeah.
But it's not possible.
Yeah.
Right. So what, relative to my regular day, what's a good day?
What's the best version of your day?
Yeah. I love that. What's the best version of my day? And if you do that, like all of a sudden you can see like, here are the chunks. Now inside the chunks, what are the habits I can put in place, right? So for me, waking up with a sense of gratitude and excitement is important to me. So I don't want to snooze because the snoozing is the very first thing you do is putting off the very first thing you're supposed to do.
Snoozing is losing.
Like, isn't that incredible? Like the very first thing you have to do today, you're not going to do.
Put it off. Yep.
So the first thing I want to do is make sure I wake up right away and I get in the shower. And in the shower, I'm going to try and find something to be excited about. Mm-hmm. Whether that's something I'm grateful for or something that's coming up in the day that I'm excited about or something I get to talk to you about or something I'm going to read or a meeting I'm going to have or just a chance to coach Katrin or this exciting program I'm going to do. So in the shower, I'm trying to think about something exciting. You know, and from there, it's a matter of trying to create the morning routine of then I brush my teeth, do all that stuff, get dressed, go downstairs, and I start to make like a pre-workout thing, like a really healthy, not like caffeine and all that stuff, but like of slow working carbs that are not going to spike my insulin and set me up for a healthy day and get my post-workout nutrition online, you know, make sure I have the right balance of carbs and protein. Then I spend about 5-10 minutes with stoicism and journaling where I'll either read something about it and or right now I'm doing the Daily Stoic Journal. So every day I'll write a little something in there, a little self-reflection to start the day. I go to the gym and I'll alternate. It's about probably 2/3 of learning and 1/3 of self-reflection or brainstorming. Most of the time I put on a book on tape and listen to something and try and learn something on the way there. Usually what happens is that ignites something in me and about... And my car rides about 11 minutes to the gym. Usually about, I actually know the light that I'm at when I do this. Usually about like 7 minutes in, I'll stop it because I can't do two things at once. Yep. And I'll let that kind of brainstorm action take place. Yep. I'll come to the gym and sit in the parking lot and I'll write a note to myself of what that thing is. Then I walk in the gym and I start my warm-up routine for working out. And I work out for an hour and a half, 2 hours. After my workout, I take a shower and I'm ready to coach my class. By 8:15, I've created this morning routine that's going to set myself up for success. You win the morning, you win the day, right? First things first. I've already done so much of live, love, learn, lead. Oh, another thing I do with Heather in the morning is I read to her a passage from this book that I have about how to be an exceptional parent. We share that together. It's like a little morning thing that we share together. She waves goodbye to me outside on the porch. It's just like, we have a great morning. It's relaxed. It's quiet. It's slow. I'm just a big fan of creating habits early in the day because at least then, if let's say after that, after I work out, I know I'm going to coach my class. That happens every day. If things get totally derailed from 10 o'clock on, like I'm still pretty good. I'm still okay.
Yeah.
I've already done a lot of things to move me towards my goals.
Yep.
You know, in terms of those core values of live, love, lead, learn, and leave a legacy, I've already done kind of all of them.
Yeah.
Now I still have, 10, 12, 14 more hours to kind of do more, but that's all bonus play.
Yeah. Awesome. Leave it there.
Cool. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.